Is this just the like what happened? What did
Zamit's just had his entire ass out for
I
the
Okay. He didn't have pants?
No, they were there, but they dropped a
They
little
were
bit.
there. It's like how
Sing it up.
you know when you sit down and sometimes your pants just go down.
Tech Hockey Guide presents the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA with your host, Tim Brown, Rob Gilreath, Dustin Lindstrom, and Matt Cavender.
Welcome to episode 40 of season 5 of the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, presented by Tech Hockey Guide and recorded from the state of hockey. I'm Tim Brown, your host, and I'm joined this week by Dustin Lindstrom.
Hey, everyone.
Rob Gilreath.
Hey, guys.
And Matt Cavender.
You already know who it is.
This week, as we head into the bye week before the final four games of the Huskies CCHA season, regular season, I guess, we brought in our beat writer, Jonathan Zamatis, to get his thoughts on the season thus far. Thanks for joining us, Jay-Z.
Hi. Glad to be here. Just glad I could beat Matt to using a real microphone.
Yeah, that one's still in. That one's still a work in progress. There's still a component that needs to go into my mic stand, and then I need to buy a dongle for the whatever. We're getting there. I'm sorry, we're getting another week of me not being a professional, but yeah.
We're probably still gonna take next week off. This week we'll probably discuss the Winter Carnival Series, status of the Huskies, and the CCHA. Preview the trip to Bowling Green, and then we'll see if anything interesting happens that it's worth recording next week, but I'm guessing we'll take the week off. So Matt's got 2 weeks to figure out his microphone situation and we can mail him something from here. Anything else, guys?
No, it sounds good.
Oh, we have to talk about the happenings of the Ottawa-Toronto game because Matt has opinions and so do I.
Should probably Google what happened real
oh
quick,
boy then. That's a teaser right
I'll
there.
Send it to you real quick. It's a fun situation to talk about just in general.
Well, I'll just watch it and live react to it when we get to it.
Oh yes, cross check to the throat fun.
That's a fucking spoiler. Oops, bad words. But
oh yeah,
yeah,
we gotta,
let's
we gotta...
put the explicit tag on like 5 minutes into the podcast.
Yeah,
that's what we like.
Well, I think
we
you got
put
it
on
quicker
both
last week in your rant.
It's, what's that? Yeah,
I think Matt had it a little quicker in last week with the explicit tag with his rant.
We got to talk about Stonehill.
Yeah, and yes, the hell sure we do.
Don't need. No, we don't need to talk about
yes,
Stonehill.
We do, baby.
And then we'll probably burn some Patreon content talking about Dustin's trip to Boston. I think that's it. So, all right, we'll be right back with Jay-Z after a little thank you notes and a brief note from our sponsors.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Do you work in manufacturing, product design, or product development? Is your business trying to improve efficiency while also producing at scale? Livonia Technical Services can help. They provide world-class quality improvement training and consulting for failure modes and effect analysis, product development, and cost reduction. All things that could help Northern Michigan assemble a competent defense. If you think your business could use a prevention mindset and reduce manufacturing costs, a partnership with Livonia Technical Services might be right for you. Check them out at livoniatech.net. That's LIVONIATech.net.
Are you in the market for insurance? Have your rates for home, auto, boat, or more been increasing way beyond inflation? If so, maybe it's time you spoke with Aaron Pietola and the team at Arcadia Insurance Group, serving Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and more. Who better to serve you than a former Michigan Tech player? For more information, call 866-511-1069 or go to arcadiaagency.com.
Okay, so I think it's time. I have a question for you guys, like last time. I think this is a good one. I will say this specifically applies to his career at Tech. Okay.
Sure.
At what school has Tyrone Bronte played closest to home at?
Did he play in the desert tournament, right?
Correct. During his Tech career, which away game was closest to his home in Melbourne, Australia, by as the crow flies?
As the crow flies, hold on.
I'm gonna.
Why
go
is it like fair here and go? It's Anchorage.
This has got to be Anchorage.
Tech hasn't played at Anchorage since he's been.
I said Fairbanks.
Oh, so it's Fairbanks. It's probably Fairbanks.
It is Fairbanks.
I was gonna guess Arizona, but then when you said as the crow flies,
the flat earthers aren't gonna like this.
Yeah, the crow can go anywhere it wants.
I feel like Dustin's like thinking and trying to like fact check.
Dustin's watching a sporting event on his TV.
We're used to this now that the Beanpot coverage is over.
Yeah, exactly. I'm seeing what else is on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, Zamit, that reminds me. A couple years ago, I was at Patsyak's house.
Kabaddi.
I do love Kabaddi, but a couple years ago, I was at Patsyak's house, and I really wanted to go bowling because at that point, I was like getting into bowling. I was like just starting to get good at it. I don't want to share it with my buddies, and then I was like, "What's the closest bowling alley here? Let's go." And then like they're just he just kept making jokes like, "Oh, all the bowling alleys are closed." I called them all. We checked, and then. When I asked when's the closest bowling alley, he was like, wait a minute, where's the farthest away bowling alley? So then he actually he opened up a whole bunch of things like where like there's a website you can plug in and be like, if I was to dig a hole through the earth where I am, where would I end up? So then he dug a hole in the earth like from, well, so to speak, from Canton where he lives, Canton, Michigan. And then it popped him out somewhere in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And the closest city from there was Perth. So it was like he found out the
Indian Ocean.
Farthest away.
Indian Ocean, Matt.
Oh, Indian Ocean? Okay.
Yeah.
Perth's on the other side of Australia.
Yeah, I know. It's on the Australian West Coast. I didn't know if that was... Okay, so that is Indian at that point, but yeah.
Near that place where Dustin never went.
Yeah, somewhere in the Indian Ocean, then found out... And then there were, like, funny pictures, like, at this particular bowling alley. I don't know. It was a whole thing.
Is there a bowling alley at the Navy base on the Southeast Asia... What is that?
Inigo Garcia?
Inigo Garcia. That might be the closest one then.
I've seen the Indian Ocean before.
You just Were didn't you go to combine? That one project in
yeah that
north
one
of
project
Perth,
in
right?
North, no, north of Perth, right?
No, I didn't. I did not do that project. I did not have to do that.
Carnarvon or whatever the heck it was over there. We were looking.
Yeah, in the middle of freaking nowhere, and off the coast, like between Australia and Papua New Guinea, and west of that.
So where do you want to go now? Did you have more you wanted to ask us, John and Jonathan?
Happy for the bye week. Get a nice little break here at the end. Otherwise, no, just that Bronte one's a fun fact. You guys already got my lot of stupid questions from last week for Harrison.
I cannot stand the fact that the conference standings will not be even in games until the last game night because of the stupid home and home that LSSU and Ferris did.
Yeah, but then you can do the fun thing where you bust out a whiteboard and do like the Charlie Day thing and be like, okay, who's going to have home ice and who's going to go where? And it's kind of, I hear you.
I hate the parody right now because my girlfriend wants to take me on a trip for my birthday in March, and I can't tell her when we're going because I don't know if we have home ice yet.
We don't.
I'm not going if we have home ice.
I think it's a good bet. We don't.
Michigan Tech, according to... playoff status has a 45, 55, 62, 70% chance of home ice right now.
Yeah.
I think that first series should be home ice for us.
And the problem is the second series, is that going to be home ice as well? So that rules out the next weekend.
I will go back on when I said that the odds of Michigan Tech having home ice, apparently playoff status, even though it's Monday, still does not have Saturday's conference games in there. So...
I mean,
that was their odds before they lost Saturday.
They're 100% making the playoffs.
Well, yeah, but the playoff status has a chart that says the odds of getting each seed, but it doesn't include Saturday's loss yet.
Do we know in 2 years, will top seed get a bye week with 9 teams?
I don't think we've been told what's going to happen in playoffs. We did hear how goofy the schedule is going to be.
Okay.
You'll have... What was it designated? There'll be like three clusters, and every year, one of the or two of the teams in the cluster will only play each other or every team in the cluster will play each other three times every once in a while or something. I don't know.
That sounds about close. Yeah. I mean, next season's going to be fine. I'm really curious to see if that tournament's next year or the year after for the Palm Springs or whatever.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's in 2 years now since Matt ruined my ability to go to that.
Wait, what did I ruin your ability to do?
It's supposed to be the weekend before your wedding.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I can't really afford to fly two places 2 weeks in a row, Matt.
I think what you're saying is Matt should have a destination wedding in Palm Springs, California at a Tech hockey game. I think Abby would go for it.
Yep. It's Southern California, Matt.
Yeah, but Abigail also had a friend that recently went to Palm Springs and broke to her that Palm Springs is not really like beachy California and it's more golfy California.
Yeah, it's not on the beach.
Yeah.
I mean, Joshua Tree's right there.
I know that is an appeal for Dustin. That's not going to make it a winning case for me as a partner.
You could go to the Salton Sea.
Yeah. Just make it, beach. Matt, just make it one of your wedding non-negotiables.
I don't know about that. There's a lot of things I'll fight for. I don't know if that's one of them. We'll see.
Having your anniversary during hockey season probably wasn't the best decision, Matt.
Yeah, that's a good point. But at the same time, it's just we looked at it as like, you know, it's a nice day in the winter, like in the midst of everyone's blues where everyone can get together and have a nice time, you know. But I hear what you're saying. That could cause problems in the future.
Since we're on the topic, I'm not going to be on the podcast in 2 weeks because I'm going to be golfing in Palm Springs.
Just scoping out the hockey tournament.
There you go. There's our intro.
Okay, we need you to scout locations for hotels and stuff.
Well, I'm staying at a hotel like across the highway from where the arena is. So,
oh, perfect.
Yeah. At least for one night.
Yeah, is it an AHL rink or?
Yeah, it's AHL.
Okay, it's not the Firebirds, is it?
Coachella Firebirds or whatever?
Yeah.
Coachella Valley Firebirds.
Oh, pardon me.
I will die on this hill. That AHL team should have gone to Portland. You have the infrastructure with the Winterhawks. Should have gone to Portland.
That would require an owner to actually pay their players, though. Let's see. We did not talk about... Oh, we talked about the CCHA. What was on our...
Give me your NHL hot takes with the Leafs-Ottawa game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
boy.
So has everybody watched the video now, Rob?
Did you post it somewhere?
No.
I'm just curious to find out if Matt and Tim are on opposite sides of this argument. And I just want to be a fly on the wall.
Sure. Let me find this real quick. It's in our... Yeah, here it is. I'll put this in the Slack for you, Rob.
Did he have the hearing yet or no?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Not yet. I will admit that my feeling on how many games the guy should be suspended is definitely getting clouded by some of the very lenient lack of punishment for some of the other videos I've watched lately.
See, that's where I am. See, the thing that I want to say is that in this video, I personally feel like this is an everyone sucks here thing. I think the Leafs guy sucks much more. I want to be clear about that. But I just...
That's a cross-check that should be called.
Yes, absolutely.
it's only a two, though. They didn't go up enough. It was a millimeter too short from hitting him.
Yeah, that was that. Yeah, but
wow.
My take on it is that there is a degree to which if you don't want a guy taking a slap shot on your goal, then fucking stop him. You know, like
yeah,
like I don't. There's that aspect of it, but there's another degree to which it was kind of unnecessary. And as a Wings fan, I continue to watch the play with Larkin and Matthew Joseph, and I saw Matthew Joseph cross-check Larkin in the head and walk away scot-free. So anytime somebody's taking a run at a senator right now, just in my estimation, I'm down for it. Every day that he walks free for ragdolling a guy, go ahead, take a run at a senator, see if I care. But it's a deserved 6 games. But I also feel like Matthew Joseph should have gotten 6 games.
Who's Matthew Joseph in this?
No, he's not in this video. I'm bringing up a separate situation.
As right. Dylan Larkin in the back of the head. Back.
So are you telling me that if Jed Piatela goes down and slap shots from the top of the faceoff circle, the empty net goal on Friday night, that you're mad at Jed Piatela?
I'm not. What I'm telling you is not that I'm mad at Jed, but I'd probably be like, I probably wasn't the...
That was the Larkin greatest... in front of the net, right? In a scrum.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's way different than this. Way different.
Because I've been arguing with way too many people.
To the head is what I'm trying to tell you.
The one on Larkin is at least slightly hockey play adjacent, scrum in front of the net.
I don't know. I'm just really sick of hearing people defend that play like it's something you can do. Like, I hear what you're saying to a degree that it's more.
I have to see it again to know how bad it was. But to me, it looked like it was a scrum in front of the net from what I saw.
I hear what you're saying to the point that it was a scrum in front of the net and that's what happened. But to another degree, a cross check to the head is a cross check to the head and it should be called as such. And I don't understand why he got no supplemental discipline because or anything for that.
Like, no
my,
games.
My
right?
differentiation.
Not one,
no games, not even so much as a fine.
The guy
penalty,
who attacked him after he did it got suspended.
And he earned that. He actually, you know, he ran across the ice and he went straight for the wrong guy and cross-checked him in the net. It's an earned 6 games, but I feel like it should have been every bit the same for Joseph, who had also cross-checked a player in the head.
Right, but Joseph didn't sprint the entire length of the zone to hit him while he's skating back up ice.
While the play is over. It's not live hockey anymore, right? Like,
you're right. And
I am not forgiving the guy that you're comparing this to at all.
Yes, and what
I think that person should have been suspended probably for multiple games because we don't need that shit in hockey. I'm so
yeah, I would agree with that.
And that's all I'm trying
and
to
I
say.
And I honestly
is like,
do not, like, the more I look at it and the more I've seen other videos, I do not agree with the guy in the Leafs player having a hearing, which guarantees him 6 games, right?
Yeah, wasn't there even
at least 5?
There was a play from like Marner or Matthews earlier this year where I'm pretty sure it was another cross check to the head and just nothing. And I have no idea if that has anything to do with like the star player status or whatever it happens to be, but it's just, I don't know. It's across the game. It needs to get more consistent with what we're calling, because what are we doing when a player, like when a heart and soul guy like Dylan Larkin doesn't necessarily feel safe playing the game because he can't depend on the right decision to get made.
I do agree with you from the perspective of this is why players historically feel like they have to defend their teammates, is because the refs aren't doing a good enough job of protecting players, and the committee and Peros, the guy appointed for player safety,
isn't doing a good enough job. To me, that's a capital joke. Let's give like one of the biggest goons in NHL history the job of protecting and enforcing like all of the rules of the NHL. To me, that is just, and he's proven incompetence at it, if you're asking me.
You want to know what a joke is?
I think he's proven unequivocal incompetence in the way that discipline has been assessed across the board. Like the joke of spin the wheel of player safety should never be a thing.
Well, yeah, but you also have the issue of you have these hockey players who are supposed to be the toughest athletes in all the sports getting butt hurt over an empty net slap shot.
Yes, and that's absolutely, I think that's a culture problem. Is you're not going to hear me defend what happened. It's more just my blind hatred of the Senators right now. And I think there is some of that like,
Matt, you don't need to blindly hate the Senators. Their fans already do that for them.
Because I've seen so many tweets. I have spent way too much time replying to jerks about this on Twitter. But like,
Larkin hits it's not like, actually and, even and, a cross and, check.
I do think it's kind of
it's
funny
just
that
a sucker punch.
Well, this particular, well, we're gonna agree on that and leave it. We're gonna disagree on that and leave it there, Rob. But what I'm trying to say
here
is
the stick that hits him.
We're gonna disagree here. But anyway,
you want me to screenshot it for you and show you?
I would
where
like
the
to show you
is?
The same one where the screen is there, and we are going to disagree and we're gonna move on. I think it's kind of fun that this play has come at the intersection of like, hockey's a man's man sport. You can't like complain about anything to the bad man took a slap shot on my net and that hurt my feelings. So he deserves to get a cross check to the face.
Yeah,
and I think
that's exactly
kind of
what this is. It's,
yeah.
it's as petty as baseball at this point.
Yeah. It reminds me 100% of like the Ryan Braun Prince Fielder Brewers and how the Cardinals used to act like they were the defenders of the unwritten rules and would do a bunch of shit of throwing at the Brewers because they were trying to just have fun. Like, and the Cardinals took offense to it all the time. And I hate that stuff. I think most of the unwritten rules are dumb. And the reason they're unwritten is because they're dumb. And like, I saw somebody tweet out that like, if you're more upset at Riley, that's the one who did the hitting, right?
Yes.
And what's the name of the guy that took the slap shot? Grieg? I forget how to pronounce it. But so if you're more upset at the guy who, of Riley for hitting him than the guy who did the slap shot, you need to check yourself and you probably should find another sport to watch. And I was like,
yeah,
I'm sorry, but slap shots and scoring goals are part of the game.
Yeah.
And absolutely. The game was actually happening when he did that. Checking somebody in the throat after the play is over is never part of the game.
Yes, and that's what I'm trying to say is I want to put my official opinion on the record as it may not necessarily be the most sportsmanlike thing to take the slap shot at that time, but it doesn't mean that suddenly you've committed an offense worthy of being sent to the hospital. Yeah, essentially assaulted. Like, I don't think it warranted that.
Yeah,
perhaps. I think,
and I do feel like I would assume the reason that the punishment is going to be as severe as it is because the act did not happen in a hockey play. It happened after, like, the play is over. Like, you can't just go over and cross-check somebody because you didn't like what they did after the play's over. Now, if after the face-off, like, if the guy's the left wing on the next face-off and you're the right wing across from him, like, and you cross-check him, I doubt he's getting... If you do the exact same hit in open ice on the next face-off, I highly doubt that he's getting suspended for 6 games for it, right? Like, that's... And half of it for me is, like I've always said about, like, when pitchers get pissed off at a hitter for bat flipping in a way they didn't like, or watching their home run too long, like throw a better fucking pitch. Like, why can't we let these players have some excitement, some energy, some flair, and make it a little more fucking exciting? And instead we tamp it all down. And like you said, Matt, like, this is really all about, like, Matt Riley is pissed off at the way his teammates played, that he was in that situation, and he's taking it out on the guy that scored the slap shot because he can't take it out on his team, right? Like, and he doesn't know how to deal with his emotions. Like, this is really meathead, I don't know how to deal with my emotions bullshit versus, like, anything else. And that's what pisses me off about all these hockey players that I can't have an opinion because I never played.
Now that I know what the play actually is, and I saw, I'd already seen it, but it was a view from high over the net pointing back at the guy that does the, you know, hunt down and smack the guy.
Yeah.
I cross-check the guy. He is not even fucking skating to catch up with him at all. He's making zero effort. He's coasting down the ice toward him. You know, the comment was, maybe if you'd skated a little bit harder, he wouldn't have been able to get the slap shot off. Yeah. But, you know, instead he has to hunt them down.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. And then you'll have people say, it's like, what do we want from hockey? Do we want it to actually have skilled players that be inclusive, or do we want this crap? What do we want?
And I know Dustin hasn't been able to watch the Wild much, but look at how many times, like, other teams have specifically gone after Kaprizov and gotten him hurt by getting, like, cross-checking him in the hip, like, 3 times in a row, just enough to, like, shift his pads so, like, his hip is exposed and freaking crack a rib or something. And it's like, and it doesn't seem like the league ever gives a shit when that happens to the Wild. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't be enforcing all these penalties to protect the players so that they can fucking play the game that they're getting paid millions of dollars to play.
Careful, Tim. You're making the Wild sound like the Detroit Lions right now against the refs.
I am not blaming the refs for the Wild losing. I am blaming the refs for not, like, calling certain penalties when
it goes back to our Czech hockey call with referees.
Yeah,
it's just there's a bigger need for consistency, whether it be at the NHL level, the NCAA level, or the NHL supplemental discipline level.
Yeah, like, a lot of it goes down to, like, who in their right mind wants to be a fucking referee right now?
That's the other problem, right? We're purely vilifying the guys that make the actual game possible.
I think that's absolutely something to think about. That's a huge component of this.
Everybody
because
thinks
that affects
refs. Oh, go ahead, Matt.
Because this, like, it affects the entire pipeline if we vilify officials for, like, every little thing they make. But what I would like to do is kind of flip that on its head and say the organizations that be, whether that be, like, the NHL, the NCAA, USA Hockey, what have you, are not giving the appropriate guidelines to, like, help these refs understand what the judgment calls are in certain places. Like they, like Tim said, you can't call every single penalty or the game's going to be horrible because you think of a highway where every single traffic violation is someone getting pulled over. Yeah.
I'll give him credit.
But yeah, I'm just, I combined two different arguments there. Sorry for not crediting you, Rob, but it's, I feel like we just need a lot more clarity in what means what. And I think that does start at the NHL supplementary discipline level, because like, let's start with what a punch to the back of the head is supposed to warrant in terms of discipline.
Or like a slash. Why am I allowed to, just because I have a contract signed, slash and almost kill Matt and only pay $5,000?
And that's not, and then you're suddenly like outside. Yeah, it's like outside of the legal system, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I assault somebody with my stick in a
year. There's precedent. There was a McSorley years back when he hit the guy straight up in the face.
There was Bertuzzi with the Steve Moore incident as
well. Was it Bertuzzi? That's Bertuzzi that I'm thinking of. McSorley's a different one. Bertuzzi's to the face.
McSorley, they both had different...
Yeah, McSorley's was not extracurricular, was it?
Yeah. I'm trying to... Because
I can't remember.
Bertuzzi's was to the back of the head.
Bertuzzi's is the back of the head one that I'm thinking about. That's the right one I'm thinking about.
Yeah, Bertuzzi's was back of the head. I think McSorley was... I'm not sure.
But the point still stands, is why does it only cost $5,000 to slash somebody, but like other things cost more or less? Or it's moronic. And
well, the problem is, you know, legitimate stick checking, and that has a place in the game. It is a big part of how the game works. And without it, you're playing ice hockey or field hockey where you can't touch anybody and you can't even block shots, right? It's a different sport at that point. It's there, but the penalty is there to stop it from being egregious. The problem is the players take it too far sometimes too. And, you know, refs can't see everything either. You're not, you know, there's not a ref per player dedicated to following every single person around to see everything that goes on. It's an incredibly fast game. They're not
not talking just about penalties, Rob, and whether or not penalties get called. You can have something not get penalized because they missed
the
it.
Supplemental
We're
side
still
comes
talking
in,
about
for sure. Yeah,
they're only getting fined $5,000.
Then that's who negotiated that?
Players union, collective bargaining agreement. Yeah.
The players have made the choice that that's the punishment they want against the people that are doing it to them.
Yeah,
they've agreed.
Well,
to
or
it.
They gave up that to get something else, right?
They've and that starts up a whole new point. Conversation about how I think unions are cool and having recourse against your boss is awesome, but it does lead to some things like this.
Yeah, that's a choice they've made for the exceptions for their
well,
for
and
their
part of
profession.
The part of the problem with the union owner dynamic is the something that they both agree should happen, which would be penalizing people who egregiously break the rules more. Like even if the owners agree that should happen, they probably feel that the players have more interest in that, so they make it a bargaining chip that they have to give up something else to get that change, and it makes it difficult. Like it makes it difficult for the players to weigh making that change over the other things that are probably actually more important to them. Like, you know, getting the salary cap to go up 1% more.
Sure. Right? I mean, we've had lockouts though, when players don't agree to things, right? They have the ability to do that.
Yeah. But no, you're not wrong, but how important is it to them to
exactly. Yeah. That's
yeah.
They are playing the sport under an agreement that they have all agreed to and signed up to. They don't have to play if they don't agree with that.
But my point, Rob, is that the owners and the players probably both agree off the record that the punishment for doing these things is not high enough.
Or at least
they're not at least uniform. Yeah, if they're not.
Or not uniform enough and not, like, it's not doing its job. But neither of them are willing to give up something else that they want to actually change it.
Which is money.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Because everybody cares a lot more about their bottom line. We fund everything at Tech Hockey Guide from listeners like you. You can show your support by becoming a patron at patreon.com/techhockeyguide. Whether you're interested in question priority, access to patron-only Zoom chats with coaches and players, in-stat deep dives, extended versions of the podcast, unedited video or audio, early access, or commercial-free listening, there's a level for you. We also now have 15% discounts off annual memberships with tiers ranging from $2 to $50 per month. Again, sign up at patreon.com/techhockeyguide.
Fibke Dental is a general dentistry practice located in downtown Rhinelander, Wisconsin, home of the Hodag. Look online at FibkeyDental.com or find them on Facebook. They do pain-free dentistry for kids, adults, people that went to great schools, and people that ended up at Northern Michigan. Stop in and say hi between 8 and 5 and tell them THG sent you. That is FibkeyDental.com.
I think that it would be cool to see something, because I forget which Scandinavian country does it. I think Rob talked about this, where you will get your
speeding tickets.
Yeah, your speeding tickets will be in relation to your income. And I think that would be something to look at for the NHL based on. But I mean, this is probably another thing.
That's the way all pro sports should be. So that
it should be. Yeah, so you don't get some guy who like just got called up from the AHL and makes some dipshitted play and suddenly is paying the same fine that like Sidney Crosby would.
I think it should just go scale higher. So it starts at 5, then 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I don't know that that's really going to solve that much, because, I mean, is it really your high – the percentage of plays that happens, is it your high salary superstar guys that are communities?
But even making a difference between how much Jake Lucchini would pay, because he's only making how much, and he's only making that when he's in the NHL, versus how much, like...
You mean so they don't feel bad about, like, finding the crap out of somebody, and it's like their entire...
Their entire NHL earnings, yeah.
Yeah.
Versus like Reeves or Maroon, who are still making like $1 million, right?
Well, the problem is it's less of an incentive for those guys to care about the rules since they make so much.
But for the most part, I guess Matt Riley makes a decent amount of money, I would assume, right? Morgan Riley, doesn't he?
Yes, he makes $9 million a year.
Yeah. So some sub $20,000 fine isn't going to make a big deal to him.
Clearly,
clearly
he's taking that suspension so that way the cap money comes off, so the Leafs can sign somebody at the trade deadline. Duh. Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with like the league having it out for the Leafs, like I've seen all over Twitter.
Tim, the Cup Parade's back on, didn't you hear?
The what?
The Cup Parade, the Leaf Cup Parade. It gets canceled every week, and then it gets
That's sports fans, dude. I mean. I know Dustin takes it to the extreme and jokes about it, but like we always had a laugh about like the every game of the Twin season was we're gonna be 162-0, we're gonna be 1-161. Like,
guys, we won a hockey game last weekend in regulation. We're so back.
Yeah,
we're back.
Yeah, booking my hotel in St. Paul. Right.
Exactly. Why would you book? Aren't you like Twin Cities Metro already?
Well, I had to say it. I know it's here this year. I started it and I'm like, oh, wait, it's here. I was going to say booking my flight and I changed it to hotel because at least there's a reason.
No,
that I
stay. Tim's like Taylor Swift. He needs to take a 15-minute flight everywhere.
Yeah, Tim's just going to hop in his private jet and land it on top of the X for the game.
I'm going to just take a plane from,
burn more carbon than we've ever done in our entire life.
Yeah, one thing I will credit the Blaine Airport for every day is like suddenly like the Fox News crowd loves to talk about carbon emissions. Like imagine that. Yeah. Taylor Swift somehow got Fox News as a corporation and got their viewers to care about carbon emissions. Wild, wild times we live in.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They just hate her because in spite of being a billionaire, she still gives bonuses and pays her workers a decent wage.
She's not a bad person. She just needs to not fly everywhere.
Anyway, have we talked enough?
I think we've talked enough.
I got another episode of Masters of the Air to watch tonight, so I'm good. We're done whenever.
We're going to get done like right at 11 o'clock, and I'm going to be able to
for the last minute.
It'll be nice.
Who's going to win the bye week?
Oh, hopefully injuries.
The injured players.
The Stonehill Skyhawks are winning the bye week.
Hey, speaking about Stonehill,
They won a game. They won
I've
a game.
I've only watched one of their games and they won. So as far
I
as
had
I'm
that
concerned,
game streaming up in the press box during the Tech game.
I don't understand why you guys care so much. Like it's cool, but why would you watch?
Because they got to sign they got to re-up that coach.
Do you see the size of the monitor in front of me, Tim? I can watch at least 3 hockey games on this bad boy, and I'm gonna if I can.
The reason I would tell you to watch a Stonehill game at least once is because I think it's shocking that, and I think it's unfair to these kids that there's really like no infrastructure around them, and I think it's shocking that an institution that claims to have D1 hockey is touting out a team of this caliber, a coach that is not great, and
speaking of
no tangible plans to like improve or advance, like even incrementally over time. I think it's just an astounding case of incompetence, and it puts your entire understanding of what Division I hockey should be completely on its head, because being good is not a requisite.
Oh, dang, they got their wins faster than Jamie Russell did. Oh, no, they didn't. Never mind.
Speaking of unimaginable incompetence, so Tim mentioned earlier, I was in Boston this week, and have you guys seen the big topic of conversation around Northeastern and the fact that Matthews Arena is fucking falling down and they don't have an arena to play in next year? It's going to be condemned.
It's that bad?
I didn't know it was going to be condemned. I heard that it's sinking, and
there's entire sections that they can't fill in or that they can't sell anymore. And they got big signs that say under construction, and it's because the wall is about ready to collapse.
Is it like the meme where they put a sub basement in a place that can't have a sub basement, and it's sinking?
It's just like 100-year-old building. Fill on the back bay though, like it's on garbage land in Boston, or no?
I mean, it's kind of near Back Bay, but I think it's far enough away from Back Bay that that's not the problem. And I mean, it hasn't been a problem in the last 100 years.
Sure.
Is this just the... what happened?
So Mates just had his entire ass out for the whole world to see.
He didn't have pants?
No, they were there, but they dropped a little.
It's like how you know when you sit down and sometimes your pants just go down? He just turned around and bolted with his whole hat just right there for the world to see. It was just fabulous.
And he probably doesn't even know.
No, wait, we have to play this so cool when he comes back.
Yep. All right. So what was I trying to talk about? Okay, so is Matthews Arena owned by the university?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah. So has the university like spent money on like figuring out what's wrong?
No, like they've been completely apparently ignoring it. And now it's gotten to the point that it's so bad that they don't even think that they can fix it without like putting enough money in that they could just build a whole new arena.
Okay.
That's what I talked to when I was in Boston. That's what they're telling me about it. They're like, it's like a complete shit show. It's just a complete shit show.
Jeez. Yeah, and I think that's really sad because it's such a historic building. For a lot of people that like don't understand the history of that building, that was the original home of the Bruins. That was the original home of the Celtics. Like mm-hmm. Muhammad Ali trained there. While
every team in Boston, well, I mean, I guess not every team in Boston, but like hockey.
No,
basketball.
I believe every. I want to say I think every.
I mean, I didn't want to
every Beanpot school.
I didn't want
at
to
some
lump,
point called Matthews home, I believe.
Yeah, they did. Like all the Beanpot schools. I didn't want to lump the Red Sox in there, because that logistically wouldn't quite work.
Yeah, no, but
it's,
I think
it's
every...
on. It's on.
It,
back
it works
Bay,
as
though.
Well as Fenway does, though. I mean, it's got some weird dimensions. So
is that still on the fill?
Yeah, it's on the fill back.
It's got to be kind of close to the edge, but
no, it's actually surprisingly not. The Boston neck goes way the hell down there.
Really?
Yeah, and another concern about...
Yeah, look at that picture, kind of showing them two maps side by side in Slack.
Let's check it out.
I mean, I know it was quite a bit, but I didn't know exactly how far it went.
Yeah, another thing to kind of consider is that, first of all, we all know that land in Boston is already at a premium, but around the Northeastern campus, things are getting bought up, like, left and right for, like, exorbitantly high prices. So they really... it's becoming a concern of, like, where do they even go? Like they're running out of options, and
they have a $1.3 billion endowment. They can build a new stadium.
Well, I mean, they're going to have
the problem is where do they
tear down and build in place? They're going to have to tear down and build in place.
And then where do they play in the meantime?
Then they got to work that out with BC and Bentley and Harvard and BU and the Garden to spread all of their games around.
Like what UConn did where they played at what's its face before they got their rink.
The Hartford Civic Center.
They wouldn't necessarily have
in Boston though.
But they wouldn't have to
the right size.
They wouldn't have to like move it around that much. Like you just need some cooperation and scheduling to like make sure that BC and Northeastern aren't home the same day.
Right.
Right. But I don't know how easy that is to do when more than likely most of the schedules probably figured out already, right? Like, so next year's the messed up one if they have to do it right away,
right?
But yeah, the New England Whalers, Boston Celtics, Boston Bruins, Boston University, Boston College, Harvard, Northeastern have all called it home.
Yeah, it's.
I don't see any, like, I'm trying to look at like any news articles about how bad it is. I'm not seeing anything on it, but
I'm happy. I think, well, because they're keeping it kind of on the DL.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be like.
Here's a Reddit thread about it. Yeah.
Yeah,
breaking news.
But yeah, it's going to be sad to see that building go. I'm happy I got a chance to walk around inside of it, but it has a lot of history of the game in there, you know?
Yeah, this Reddit thread, sincerely, a BU fan that doesn't want to be crushed by several tons of concrete.
Yeah.
So that picture you sent us will not be accurate soon?
Well, apparently.
Oh, yeah, that's a shame. I'm looking on Google Earth, and literally right across on the other side of the train tracks is a giant plot of open land. Only they bought that, I guess.
It's not open land anymore. That's where that big white bubble is in the picture that I...
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Maybe that's why I couldn't find it when I was just scrolling around
the
Boston.
Bubble yeah. and create no. a bigger dome and you're good to go.
Just play under the bubble.
No, Dustin, this is from 2024.
Well, no, I
Dustin
was there last
the picture
week.
Last week.
I can show you the picture of the bubble that's next to
So it's probably Matthews. Is it probably was a playing field and now it's got a dome on it for the winter.
Maybe. Yeah. It's the William E. Charter School Grounds Park.
Yeah. That makes sense. Carter School. Because it definitely looked like a sports like winter dome, didn't it, Dustin?
Yeah,
like a blow-up dome.
Unless that's on the football field that's further down, but
yeah,
it sure looked like it was right next to Matthews.
It's on the other side of the train tracks.
So why did that bar pick to be a Bills bar, Dustin?
I don't know.
I mean, the Bills and the Patriots were both created the same year, so they just went Bills instead for some reason?
I have no idea. I'm like, it made no sense whatsoever to me that it was a Bills bar, but it obviously was because they had a freaking Bills helmet, they had Bills t-shirts, they had a signed jersey from Jim Kelly hanging on the wall.
Yeah, maybe some owner at some time just liked the Bills better in the 90s and didn't give a shit.
Nothing but respect for the only NFL team in New York.
But the bar itself is in Fenway.
Yeah,
so I don't know,
like Fenway Park.
Yes. Yeah. Look at zoom in on Google Maps to Fenway Park, and it's the Bleacher Bar.
Yeah, I see it.
It's legitimate.
I've walked past it, but I never went in it.
It is underneath the center field bleachers in Fenway Park, and it's open to the public on the outside.
Huh.
And they got Buffalo Bills stuff hanging all over in there.
Well, I mean, where's Gillette play at?
Gillette's out in Foxborough. It's not in the city of Boston itself.
Is it in Massachusetts?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. The picture from 2008 that they have on Google does not have any of the stuff that's on the walls now. They sanitized it.
Yeah, Gillette's actually like halfway between Providence and Boston. It's nowhere in anywhere near Boston proper.
So it's like the 49ers?
No, it's worse than the Niners in terms of distance.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah, it's halfway to Providence. It's nearly Rhode Island.
Isn't it like damn near the middle of Massachusetts?
No, because
it's more south.
It's south. Southwest.
Like, draw a 45 angle off of the top right corner of Rhode Island.
Yeah, it's pretty much directly. It literally is halfway between Boston and Providence, Rhode Island, which Providence is pretty much the border of Rhode Island and, well,
okay,
you know,
so,
Rhode Island and anything.
That's even worse, Dustin, because the Boston Patriots played at Fenway Park from 1963 to 1968.
Jeez, that's funny.
I don't get it. I mean...
And the they played in Boston until Foxborough was built in 71.
They were selling Bleacher Bar branded t-shirts that had big Buffalo Bills logos on them.
Nice.
And
that's strange.
I do have to say, though, that was one of the coolest bars I've ever been to by far. It was, they had a garage door that opened up and you're looking right in center field of Fenway Park. It's like the wall, the center field wall opens up and you're looking right out on the field.
It's kind of nifty.
Cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. I'm looking at pictures right now.
It was an awesome bar.
Yeah, you're right. This is literally within the confines of Fenway and has like Buffalo Bill stuff everywhere. That is wild.
Uh huh. That's what I thought. I just found a picture on Google of the Buffalo Bills jersey or the helmet is sitting right up next to the picture of them celebrating the Red Sox World Series in this bar with a Buffalo Bills helmet.
We're gonna have to look into the lore of this when it's not the end of the podcast and everyone wants to get done.
Yeah, because I'm trying to figure out how to stop the podcast now that we started this. Where is it here? Well, now that we've talked about Fenway Park and the bar underneath it and the New England Patriots enough to make me puke, are we ready to wrap up?
Yes, please.
Quick yes or no. Is Kansas City a dynasty?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have stopped watching football enough to know.
I saw your tweet, Tim. I saw your tweet. I had to ask.
Okay. You saw my tweet?
Yeah. You replied to Nate Silver.
I think the distinction with football is that they don't play series. So it is a lot freaking harder to have a true dynasty in the respect of winning three titles in a row. But I still think that means that the teams like the 49ers in the 80s and then the Cowboys in the 90s and the Patriots for what, two different stretches are dynasties, and that the Chiefs are one as well. But the only true dynasty in the history of the NFL is the Packers, who won three straight titles twice. Anyway.
1 minute remaining in the podcast.
Well, that should do it for this episode of the Chasing McNaughton podcast. Please check out our Patreon and join by visiting patreon.com/tech hockey guide, which reminds me, I think we got two new patrons at the $2 level this week, and I should say their names, especially since we're not going to have an episode next week. We got John Filios and Katrina Cinco, according to her email, are two new members at our white level, which is $2 a month, which is pretty awesome. They get question priority. That would require them to actually ask questions, but that also kind of requires me to actually call for questions, which I'm not very good at all the time. Basically, everybody above the white level at $5 a month or more gets extra podcast content, whether it's extended versions of video, which we didn't tell him yet, but apparently the video this week will show Jonathan's ass.
Yeah, when you walked away to meet you, you showed us a full moon, my guy.
Oh, shoot, did I, like, oh.
You didn't try, you know, no, listen, we've all been there. We're, like, we're sitting down and your pants just fall down a bit. It's just, you got up real excitedly, bolted, and showed us your whole ass.
I missed it, but it was.
I've been holding in a pee for, like, 2 hours.
We've all been there. But yeah, that was you had Rob crying.
It was so funny. Yep. So and then the highest level we've got that anybody's currently paying for, you get raw audio of the podcast, which I usually publish the night of recording. You can submit questions through Twitter or Facebook or on our Patreon page. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you can't find the podcast on your site of choice, please let us know and we'll make it happen. The more you rate, review, and share, the more people we can reach. So tell your friends. We were in the top 200 of hockey podcasts for a little bit there in February, or late January, early February. We're back out of the rankings now, but that's okay. If you give us a 5-star rating, Dustin will read the review. You leave no matter what it says. So let's get some ratings and see what you guys have to say. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Fibke Dental in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, Arcadia Insurance, and Livonia Technical Services. Finally, thanks to the thank you notes for all the bumpers in this week's episode. If you like what you hear, check them out at thethankyounotes.bandcamp.com.
You've been listening to the Chasing McNaughton podcast, presented by Tech Hockey Guide, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA.